Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the first Star Sport Podcast of 2020. My name is Jack McCarron of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. On this week's show, we'll be looking ahead at what's to come over the course of the next 12 months and marking your calendar for the biggest West Cork sporting events of the year.
We're also going to chat to Joe McCarthy, host of the West Cork League podcast, to reflect on the opening weekend of the Beamish Cup, as well as previewing this weekend's fixtures.
But to kick things off, Kieran, just one simple question. What are you most looking forward to in 2020 from a West Cork sporting perspective? Now, I know that's quite broad, there's a lot on, but just give me the one that really stands out in your mind that you cannot wait to watch, you cannot wait to cover, you cannot wait to sink your teeth into in 2020.
It has to be the Olympics. It really has. It comes along once every 4 years, Jack. It's kind of the biggest sporting event in the world this year, and there will be West Cork people there, touch wood. It's not guaranteed yet, but we will have West Cork representatives there. So like, the Olympics is brilliant. Even going back as a kid, used to love watching the Olympics. You know, go back as a 8, 9, 10 year old, you'd watch the sprinters and you go to back lawn and you try and sprint as fast as you could up and down the grass, kind of bare feet. Just always loved the Olympics, and it's a treat for every sports fan. You know, you can stay up all night, you'll be watching gymnastics, boxing, you have it, just watch everything. Bar the soccer, I'm not a fan of soccer. The Olympics, for some reason, never got into it.
It's the same as the golf. Like, they have enough big days out.
Yeah, I just it's hard. Even the last Olympics, was it Justin Rose won?
Justin Rose won. I remember McIlroy refused to play. He's going to play this year. But just, I'm just putting that into the same category as the soccer. They have the World Cup. Golf has the majors. Mm-hmm. That's their equivalent. So why do they have to come in and take? Because some of the smaller sports miss out then, because they can only have a certain amount of sports. I know tennis is another, but that's actually kind of taken seriously as an Olympic sport, but I would put it in the same bracket.
But the Olympics is just brilliant. It's a kind of, it's a festival of sport. This year, the Olympics is running from Friday, July 24th to Sunday, August 9th. So to mark that in your calendar, it's actually starting the end of July. So that's Friday, July 24th. It's the Olympics in Tokyo is kicking off.
Okay then, I'm a West Cork sports fan. I'm sitting down at the beginning of the Olympic Games and I want to make sure I do not miss any of the West Cork participants in action. Firstly, tell me who they're likely to be, who are the potentials, and then I know it's going to be impossible to tell us the schedule now, but just give us the names of who we're likely to be looking out for this summer.
Well, I suppose we have to start with the Skibbereen Rowers. Go back 4 years ago, 4 years ago already, Gary and Paula Donovan won Ireland's first ever Olympic gold medal when they took silver in Rio. What we do know is that the Irish lightweight double will be in Tokyo, and it will be made up of two Skibbereen Rowers. Like we've said in this podcast before, bar injury or some unforeseen circumstance, it will be Paula Donovan plus one other. Could be Paul and Gary again. Could be Paula Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, who won world gold last year. Possibly could be Paula Donovan and Shane O'Driscoll. So whatever combination, whatever double Ireland send to the Olympics in July, they will be favourites for the gold. So we've a real, real medal prospect there. So that'll be fierce exciting. That's going to bring its own pressure. Go back 4 years ago, nobody kind of tipped Gary and Paul for medals, and the nation erupted when they won their silver. So whatever double is sent this year, there will be pressure on them to medal. So that's a different kind of pressure heading into the Olympics. Go back, like I said, in Rio, Gary and Paul were 22 and 23, two young fellas that nobody expected much of. But whatever two skib boys go to the Olympics this year, there will be an expectation on them. And Dominic Casey, we can't forget, Dominic Casey will be the Wrong Ireland lightweight coach. So that's another West Cork link. Phil Healy's another one. Phil hasn't qualified for the Olympics yet, but she's well on course for that. Phil, of course, from Ballineen, Ireland's fastest woman over 100 metres and 200 metres. She's having a great chance of getting to Tokyo. There's different ways she can get there. There's a new qualifying system in place for the Athletics where she needs to finish inside, I think it's the top 56, there's 56 placings up for grabs. Currently she's in the mid 30s in that, so she's pretty safe at the moment. Or if she hits the qualifying time, which would be a new PB for her, but you wouldn't put that past her as well. So all gone well, Phil Healy is another West Cork.
And how brilliant would it be to have a West Cork representative in the sprinting of all things?
Ah, like, magical,
the,
isn't it?
That, you know? I know the rowing is great and everything, but on a worldwide scale, sprinting is the one. Isn't
and it packs
it,
out the Olympic stadiums.
It's the only, you know? At the last, at the World Championships in Doha, where they got sparse crowds, the crowd came out for the 100-meter final, so on sprinting night. So
even you think back to London 2012, the crowds that were, they packed the Olympic Stadium for the sprinting. We had friends living over London at the time, and they were lucky enough to get tickets for the 100-meter final, and it's just incredible. I tried to get tickets for different things back in 2012, and I ended up with soccer tickets for Wembley, which I didn't go to in the end. Like I said earlier, I'm just not a big fan of soccer at the Olympics. So again, Phil Healy, someone, touch wood, that she'll get there. Christina Desmond, Jack, she's another kind of possibility. So you might fill us in on Christina.
Yeah, obviously we spoke to her and spoke about her a good bit on the podcast last year, but she's a boxer from Kilnamatra who fights in the welterweight division, and she went to the World and European Championships in 2019, finishing in the top 8 in both. She also solidified herself as the number one welterweight in Irish boxing by winning 2 elite titles. Now, it's slightly changed the qualifying for Olympic boxing because of the controversy that followed Olympic boxing at the Rio Olympics, where there was judging and refereeing decisions found to be corrupted. So basically the Olympic Council, or the IOC, is that what they're officially known as?
Yeah.
The OCI, whatever the official head of the Olympics Council is, they've taken the running of Olympic boxing off IEBA, which is the world governing body for amateur boxing, and they're organising it all themselves. So there was a fear that boxing would actually miss out, but thank God it's not, because it's one of the biggest draws at the Olympic Games. So, to cut it long story short, there's an Olympic qualifier in London, either at the end of February, beginning of March, around that time. Christina Desmond is in pole position to be sent as the Irish representative. She's the defending champion in Ireland at 69 kgs. So barring an injury or some other unforeseen selection decision, she will be at the qualifier, and then it's up to herself to nail a place at the Tokyo Olympics. But she's in form, she's fighting fit, and that's her goal. So there's another potential West Cork representative, and it would be great because we've seen what Katie Taylor has done for women's boxing in since London in 2012. It's grown, it's now a recognisable global sport. So if Christina could get herself in contention for a medal, and then just, well, that's all, if she can get herself in contention for a medal, what a year that would be.
Oh, that'd be incredible, you know, kind of like that. There alone, you 4 local sports people who could be going to the Olympics, you know, kind of incredible again. So best luck to them all in the weeks and months ahead.
I think we'll move on from the Olympics now, because we've named the 4 potentials. You never know, there could be a dark horse somewhere. But I think the biggest story of the year outside of the Olympics is undoubtedly going to be the Cork footballers. They had a strong campaign in the championship last year, despite finding themselves in Division 3 for the league. But there is like there's an excitement brewing. Already they hammered the Kingdom in a pre-season game, and I know we'll talk about the star of the show in that game in a few minutes. But even though you don't pay too much heed to pre-season games, just based on how the season finished last year with a close loss in the Munster final, then a good showing in all the Super 8 games, then they come back, hockey Kerry. There's Dennis Hurley writing in last week's Southern Star about the return of Kieran Sheehan. There just seems to be...
the tide's turning a little bit, yeah.
The tide is definitely turning. We spoke about it a lot last year, but now can they actually carry it on into the important games, the league, which starts in just a few weeks?
Like, last year was definitely a progression for the Cork footballers, but if you want to be brutal about it, when they got to the Super 8s, they didn't beat any team. They didn't beat any of the big teams. So if you want to kind of... like I said, brutal. They lost to Kerry, they lost to Dublin, they lost to Tyrone, and they lost to Roscommon. So they still haven't beaten or taken the scalp off a big team, and that'll need to change this year. Cork are in the McGrath Cup final this Saturday evening at 5:30 in the Gaelic grounds in Limerick. It's part of a doubleheader with the Munster Senior Hurling League final between Cork and Limerick as well. Like the McGrath Cup is a pre-season tournament, so it just helps kind of get a minutes into the legs ahead of what is a crucial Division 3 Football League for Cork this year. Cork kick it off against Offaly on January 25th in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 6 p.m. Cork really need to hit the ground running. They need to get promoted from the league this year, Jack.
Because they're going to find themselves in a secondary championship. Yeah, that's confirmed, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So basically, it's very simple. The top two teams who get promoted from Division 3 of the Alliance Football League will qualify for the Tier 1 Championship in the summer. So they'll avoid the new Tier 2 Championship. If Cork fail to win promotion from Division 3, it means that Cork will have to beat Kerry in the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final on May 24th in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Cork don't want to find themselves in that situation, so that's why I think the league is so, so important for Cork, because if we're being quite honest here, Cork are not going to win the All-Ireland this year. You know, it has to be about development, taking steps, different steps
at
a time.
Don't rule it out just yet.
I'll put it here now, Cork will not win the All-Ireland football title this year. I'd be pretty confident in that. So I think for Cork to, a successful season for Cork starting off is to win promotion from Division 3.
Yeah, so what is the goal this year for the Cork senior footballers? If you're in that dressing room now and you're writing down the goal for the season, you're saying they're not going to win the All-Ireland. So what would constitute success?
I think promotion from Division 3 up to Division 2 and target the Munster Senior Football Championship. Cork gave Kerry a very good game up in Páirc Uí Chaoimh last year. This year's Munster semi-final is in Páirc Uí Chaoimh again. It's Cork against Kerry. If Cork are coming off the back of a good National Football League, they won't fear Kerry coming up there. And the fact it's a semi-final, Cork could get through to a Munster final and they have a great chance then of winning the Munster title. Get into the Super 8s, and again, they mightn't like that phrase, but it is bonus territory, because no one will expect Cork to do too much in the Super 8s. Win one game there, that's progression. I think Cork need to show signs of progression this year. The squad looks strong this year. Like you said there, Kieran Sheehan is back in. I won't expect too much off him this year. I remember back to when Ty Kennelly came back from the Sydney Swans to Kerry. He looked awkward that year back, because he's so used to Aussie rules. It'll
take a few years.
It just takes time to even their kicking technique and so on. So,
but Tommy Walsh down the road eventually did come good again.
But it took him four years. It took him time. So I think the big thing with Kieran Sheehan is that he's bringing in he'll be one of the older guys. He's 29. He has the experience. He's coming from a professional background with Carlton over in Australia. So I think he's a good guy to have in the dressing room, because if you look at last year's Cork team, very young team predominantly, so it's good to get another leader in there. So big year for the Cork footballers.
I just want to note before we move on for the footballers, as I mentioned, Dennis Hurley was writing in last week's Southern Star about five to watch in the upcoming season, and three of the players he mentioned are young West Cork footballers. Peter O'Driscoll from Island Rovers, who led the Cork under-20s to All-Ireland glory last year. Maurice Shanley from Clonakilty, who was also part of that under-20 side. And then the man that we alluded to a little earlier on, Damien Gore from Kilmacabby, who scored an astonishing 3-5 in the recent win over Kerry. And as we mentioned, it was just a pre-season tournament, but 3-5 is some scoring, no matter who you're playing against or what the level is. So those three young West Cork footballers that Dennis has mentioned, can you see any or all of them making the breakthrough this year and solidifying their names in the first 15?
I can see them in and around the panel. It'll be interesting to see when Ronan McCarthy he's going to trim down the panel after the McGrath Cup and ahead of the league. It'll be interesting to see who makes the cut. For the likes of Maurice Shanley and Peter O'Driscoll, they're coming out of under 20, so I think to be around that setup, the senior setup, will be good for their development. I wouldn't expect too much off them too soon. Damien Gore was in with the Cork seniors last year during the league for a bit. I think he saw a couple of minutes. Like I said there, it was a 3-5, was it, against Kerry?
Yeah.
That was a good haul. Damien's an interesting one, because I suppose over the last couple of years, he's really shot the prominence with Kilmacabby. He's been really impressive in the Junior A Football Championship. Helped Kilmacabby get to the County Junior A Final 2 years ago. Big step up from Junior A up to senior level. I wouldn't put too much pressure on his shoulders. He still has a lot of developing to do. Again, if he was to make the panel, it's just it's good for his development. He's a good player, very, very skillful, really skillful. I just hold tough a little bit still, just to give him, just to give him chance. I wouldn't give him time. I wouldn't put too much pressure on his shoulders.
But anyway, regardless of putting too much pressure on his shoulders, good to see that the conveyor belt is,
that is strong.
Not slowing.
No, no, it's very strong. And even looking at the Cork Under 20 team this year, there's a very strong West Cork element. So the conveyor belt is strong at the moment. It's good times better times for Cork football. There's a big year ahead, and West Cork will have a big role to play in that, Jack.
Okay, then, we leave the Cork footballers there for now. What about the ladies, though, Kieran?
Yeah, looking at Aoife Fitzgerald, his decision to step back didn't last too long.
No.
4 weeks, six
and
weeks.
And then I read on southernstar.ie that not only is he back, but he's also going to take an even more hands-on approach. So
yeah,
1 minute he's stepping back, the next he's back, and he's back in an even bigger capacity. So maybe tell us a little bit about what he was saying in that piece, and also what we can expect from the season ahead.
If he's going to take a more hands-on role with the coaching, so kind of, he said the last year or so that he kind of stepped back from that. He was he'd handed over duties to the James Masters and a couple of more, but this year he's kind of shaken up his backroom team. He's brought in the likes of Paddy O'Shea, and if he's going to take a more hands-on role himself. Again, big year for the Cork ladies footballers. They're going to kick off their 2020 Division 1 league campaign on January 26th at home to Westmeath. Cork won the Division 1 title this year, so they're going to defend that. The big game there, February 9th, Dublin against Cork. That's it's a rematch of last year's semi-final that Dublin won. It's a rematch of the 2018 final that Dublin won. Dublin are the three in a row All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship champions. They are the yardstick that Cork are trying to judge themselves off. They are the team that Cork need to surpass if they want to win in All-Ireland this year. So that'll be an interesting game on February 9th. Cork team will be thereabouts again this year. It's going to be a very, very interesting year. Kind of, obviously, Aoife's there because he knows how good this team can be. And it's a team that's progressing all the time. They're still quite a young team. They're a relatively young team. So with another year under their belts, I think, yeah, Cork will be right in the mix this year.
Okay, so we've spoken about the Olympics, we've spoken about the Cork senior footballers, the Cork senior ladies footballers. I suppose the next subject to touch on, excuse me, is of course Conor Howrahan, Bandon's Conor Howrahan, mm-hmm. Aston Villa's Conor Howrahan, Ireland's Conor Howrahan. The last number of weeks he's been coming into a bit of form for Villa. Things have been looking good. How is his 2020 going to look, in your opinion?
Well, I suppose you've club at Villa and then you have the international with Ireland. We want to get to the Euro 2020s. We haven't mentioned that yet because we don't even know if we're going to be there. The European Football Championships in the summer, that'll be held all over the shop. But that's a different story. All comes down to Ireland against Slovakia on Thursday, March 26th in Bratislava.
Is that definitely going to go ahead?
Unless I get liquidated, kind of. Well, as of now, that game is going on.
That's on
March 26th in Bratislava. So
you could never cancel a game based on a bankruptcy in international football. Surely.
Hopefully.
Surely. But we've said that a lot in relation to the FAI. This couldn't possibly happen, and sure enough, a week later. But anyway, Conor Howrahan.
So Ireland beat Slovakia, which is a tough ask in its own.
Yeah.
They'll play the winner of Bosnia or Northern Ireland. So
another tough ask, especially the Northern Ireland game.
So it's a big ask for Ireland to get to the Euros this year. Touch wood, they'll do it. Conor should be starting in midfield for that, barring injury or loss of form. Like you said there, he's been playing well over the last couple of weeks. Was on target there over the Christmas period as well. Interesting news coming out this week is that Danny Drinkwater looks like he's going to join Aston Villa on loan. Drinkwater was a midfielder there at Leicester when they won the Premiership a couple of seasons ago. Went to Chelsea, didn't work out. Went on loan to Burnley. Got very few minutes down there. I think he got injured on a night out as well. So it looks like Villa are going to take him on loan for the rest of the season. And he's a central midfielder too. So it's more competition for places for Conor Howrahan. But he's never shirked a challenge before. So I suppose for Conor going into 2020, he'd want to help Villa avoid relegation because they are in a scrap for survival at the moment. And he'll want Ireland to get to the Euros. So he's a big early half of the year coming up.
Well, a big year ahead for all involved in West Cork sport. But we're going to leave it there now. And after the break, we're going to be talking to Ger McCarty about the Beamish Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to all things sport in West Cork.
Don't forget to pick up this Thursday's Southern Star newspaper, including our award-winning sports section with everything a West Cork sports fan could want. In shops across West Cork and online from anywhere in the world via www.southernstar.ie/epaper. The Southern Star and the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
The Beamish Cup got underway last weekend with four games down for decision in the preliminary round. Castletown Celtic overcame Castleac at home with a 1-0 win. Clonakilty Town went through on penalties, having drawn 3-3 with Baltimore after extra time. Skibbereen accounted for Premier League leaders Drina Rangers in the shock of the round, going through on penalties after a 2-2 draw. And Dunmanway Town beat Bunratty by 3-1. Kieran, there's some fixtures this weekend as well.
Yeah, before we talk about what's coming up this weekend, we have to bring attention to those watching on YouTube to the new cinematic light box. It's our new prop for 2020. We have blown our 2020 budget on this state-of-the-art cinematic light box. And for those listening through audio or so on, what it says is up the crabs. And that's in relation to Jack McCarron, the man beside me, who is, of course, a star player, as he tells us every week in the office with Baltimore. Baltimore were in action, in Beamish Cup action last weekend. 3-3, it went to Clonakilty Town, you lost 6-5 on penalties. But this game is notable for one huge reason. Jack McCarron scored his first ever goal for Baltimore. It wasn't enough to see them through, but by all accounts, it was a 50-yard worldie. So Jack, tell us about this. Tell us about the game first. But tell us about your first ever goal for Baltimore, because you've talked a good game, but now you're backing it up.
Yeah, first of all, in case there is any members of the Baltimore squad or management listening, I don't go around telling people I'm a star. The goal also wasn't a 50-yard rasper, and I'm actually going to give most of the credit to my midfield partner, Kieran Lynch, who...
Of golf fame.
I'll describe the goal for listeners, because, do you know what? It was the first goal I've scored in about 10 years, maybe more than 10 years.
Live it up.
And I was absolutely buzzing. And I went away, gave it to Ellen Shearer, but it was like pissing rain and the pitch was really heavy. So it was probably not a great idea because I hurt my hip during my celebration. But anyway, picked up the ball. Off, there was a cross came in, ball bounced out. I was about halfway line and the edge of their box. I fed it into Kieran Lynch's feet, who was standing on the edge of the box, back to goal. I continued my run, roaring, back, pass it back, pass it back, pass it back. But Lynch, being the assist king and baller that he is, he held it until the final second. Held it off. I didn't even have to break stride. So a nice little 1-2 at Lynch.
Bounced off for Arsene.
No, straight past the keeper. It was a good goal, I have to say. It was probably the best goal I've ever finished
and
off.
What stage of the game? That was right near the end, was it?
Yeah, we were 3-2 down at the time, so that kind of sent us to extra time. So, you know, it's kind of important as well. But unfortunately, we lost out on penalties. And I'm not one to usually throw shade at the officials, but the referee in this case, who actually had a really good game, and he's a good ref, we've had him a few times this season, he just made a crazy decision during the penalty shootout to our goalkeeper, Ronan Collins, an Island Rovers man, an excellent goalkeeper. Yeah. He saved one of their penalties to give us the chance to go on and win it. So we were celebrating wildly, because Clonakilty Town, as the league table suggests here, they're third in the Premier, whereas we're third or fourth in the Championship. So it would have been a big scalp. And we had went out to them on penalties last year as well. The same team at the same round, regardless. So Ronan Collins makes a save. The referee blows his whistle inexplicably. I couldn't believe it. Like, look at it. Is this real life? He must have had VAR in the porta cabin on the side of the pitch, because he said Ronan was off his line during the penalty save. And then, to make matters worse, their keeper was blatantly coming off his line for every penalty save. Their keeper is very good as well now. I'll give him that credit. And I wouldn't have liked to have seen him blown for coming off his line until our keeper was blown. So it's either don't blow any or blow them all.
It's very rare to see that, actually. even at the top level, you're talking International Premier League, you know, kind of. They're very slow. And you see it the whole time.
It's absolutely crazy. It ruined our day, is what I'll say. We were, Joe, backs to the wall for the whole game. Clonakilty Town, I'll give them credit. They're an excellent team. It's no surprise to see them so high up the table. They were passing it around on a terrible pitch, but we just hung in there. But in the worst circumstances possible, we were knocked out another year at the first round against Clann on penalties.
And Clannachilty Town's reward is a round two game this Sunday against Ballydehob. That's an all-Premier Division clash. It's one of the picks of the round. Looking to, ahead to round two this weekend, we'll also see Drina Rangers B are up against the reigning champions Togher Celtic. Doris take on Alta Celtic. Spartak Moscow against Skibbereen will be a very interesting game because Skibbereen had a huge win over Drina Rangers. That was probably the shock of last weekend. Dunmanway Town B will be playing Mizzen AFC. Solan will take on Riverside Athletic. Kilbritton Rovers are taking on Dunmanway Town, who are just coming into form at the right time, while we also have Lyre Rovers and Castletown Celtic. So there's a big weekend of Beamish Cup action on the way. And I caught up earlier with Ger McCarthy, who was at the Drina Rangers game, to get his thoughts on last weekend's action. And he also looks ahead to what's coming up this weekend. Ger, you were at the, I suppose, the big Beamish Cup game last weekend, the big round one game, where Drina Rangers were knocked out by Skibbereen. Skibbereen won 4-2 in a penalty shootout after it finished 2-2 after extra time. That's a big shock to start the year, Ger.
It is. Considering Drina's record in the Beamish Cup, well, everybody knows Drina Rangers are one of the most well-established clubs in the West Cork League anyway, but over the past 3 years, they finished runners-up last year and won the Beamish Cup the previous two seasons, which just tells you their pedigree. Skibbereen are playing a division below. They're rebuilding under John Allen, trying to get back up to the top tier. But this was a day they had their full-strength squad available to them, and they were fully deserving of it. I think Drina were very magnanimous in defeat, in fairness to them. They fought to the end, as you would expect from any Drina team. But Skibbereen were very, very good. Young Jamie Horahan, at fullback, scored a fantastic free kick with 5 minutes to go to take it to extra time after Gerard White had put Drina ahead. But the game really came to life in extra time when both teams went for it. Barry O'Driscoll hit the post. Actually, they hit the post twice. Drina, on two different occasions, could have had a penalty. And it looked like they were going to press and win it until Skibbereen broke clear. And that man, JP Reen, around Skibbereen soccer a long time and just back, having transferred back from Ballydehob, finished off a brilliant move, rounded the goalkeeper. Yet, within 60 seconds from the restart, Adrian O'Driscoll made it 2-2 to take the penalties. But in fairness to Skib, they held their nerve. They've gotten through to the second round. It's a big shock and a big disappointment for Drina, but take nothing away from that Skib team. They were fully, fully deserved to win.
Like, this shows the beauty of the Cup. Like, we all know Cup football, anything can happen. Like you said there, Skib are a championship team. Drina Rangers are leading the Premier Division at the moment, and they're probably favourites to win the Premier Division. So for Skib to go and upset, probably the Cup favourites, you could say, a team that's, like you said, Ger, have been there for the last couple of years, finalists, and they've won it for a couple of seasons too. It just shows that the Beamish Cup, it's a very hard competition to win, and it does highlight just, I suppose, how special this competition is as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, because if you contrast it with Across the Water and the FA Cup that used to be one of the most important tournaments in British football, and you see most Premier League teams and no other divisions now feeling weakened and younger sides, it's the complete opposite here in West Cork, and that the strongest team available always turns up for the Beamish Cup. That day out, that build-up to the Beamish Cup final still remains as special as ever, and anyone that was lucky enough to be there to see Togher Celtic end a 22-year wait this past season and the reaction and the aftermath will tell you just how important it is. But it's a body blow for Drina. It's the first competitive game they've lost, I think, this season. They're unbeaten in the league, but I think it should probably free up their schedule a bit more themselves. But it does open up the Cup, though, Kieran, big time. And like, even ahead of this weekend's games, there's some cracking games coming up this weekend. The likes of the defending or the Cup holders, Togher Celtic, Dunmanway Town, and Skibbereen themselves, they'll be reinvigorated now, because with the greatest respect, Drina no longer being part of the competition does open it up.
And it will also put the other teams on their toes. Like you said there, to Togher Celtic, the reigning champions, they're kicking off their title defence. They're playing Drina Rangers B in a round two game this Sunday. But for the likes of Togher and Dunmanway Town, like, kind of, they've seen now what's happened to Drina Rangers, who've been knocked out by a championship outfit. Like, they know you can't underestimate any team in this competition. So all the big ones will be on their toes from here on in.
They'll have to be. And you mentioned Togher Celtic there, and even though they're travelling to Drina Rangers' second team, that Drina Rangers B team is packed with a lot of experienced players, and they won't give anything. That will not be an easy tie for Togher, even though you'd expect them to come through. You look at the likes of Dunmanway Town, who are on a roll at the moment and looking to make up ground at the top of the Premier Division. They're travelling to Kilbritton Rovers, a relatively new club that only formed a couple of years ago. But going down to Kilbritton, will not be easy either. And like, there are banana skins all over the second round, even for the established teams. But I would also point to the Loyola Rovers and Castletown Celtic game, because it's two teams you don't necessarily hear a lot about at the moment in terms of the Championship or the Premier League. But both of them on their day, as Loyola proved a couple of years ago, by reaching the Beamish Cup final, and Castletown Celtic definitely with a full strength team. Either of those, whoever comes out of that, would be a very dangerous team in the latter stages of the competition as well. But in terms of marquee matchups for the coming weekend, there are two. Obviously, Skibbereen, you know, still on a high after beating Drina. They've got an equally tough game in Bandon against Spartak Mosgrove, the joint leaders of the Championship. And that all Premier Division tie between Clonakilty Town and Ballydehob will be an absolute cracker as well.
Like you said there, Clonakilty Town against Ballydehob, like, you've two of the top teams of the Premier Division meeting. And go back to last weekend, Clonakilty Town needed penalties to get past Baltimore after the game finished 3-3 after extra time. So again, that showed kind of that there's not much between the teams in the different divisions. Looking ahead so towards the Beamish Cup going forward, who are the front runners, Joe? Who are the teams we should be looking out for? Kind of, is it the usual suspects? Is it the Torgar, Dunmanway, kind of Clonakilty Town? Or is there someone you think can, a bolter from the pack that could come out and surprise a few teams?
I think if you're looking for a bolter from the pack, Durrus have had a lot of success over the last 2 years coming up from the Championship, getting up to the Premier Division, and also winning a couple of trophies last year. They were home to a struggling Olta at the weekend. It would be expected to come through that, and nobody really would like to face Durrus home or away in the next stage of the competition. As well as that, I keep an eye on Mizzen AFC. They're away to Dunmanway Town B this weekend, a young Dunmanway Town B team. Again, not a very straightforward tie for them, but Mizzen have a lot of scoring prowess. They're joint top of the Championship. They look like they're on their way up to the Premier Division. If they get a home tie in the next round against whoever it is, that's never an easy place to go to. I think they are potentially dark horses as well. And one real outside bet, starting to sound like a gambler, I don't know, but one real outside bet, I think Solan and Riverside Athletic are two of the best footballing teams in the Championship. And that's not a cliche. They play like they've got a good mix of young players, especially Riverside. But I think the fact that it's the game, the tie is on in Ballyvourney this weekend, might tip it in Solan's favour. But Solan, you know, if they can keep their... I suppose the key thing for any of the teams left in the competition, Kieran, heading into the next couple of weeks and the remaining rounds, it's not so much on paper. You could pick anyone from Dunmanway to Tor and to the teams I mentioned there. The problem will be the availability of their strongest team, because this is the time of year when senior and intermediate and premier intermediate football clubs, GAA clubs, look for their players to go back training full-time. And that can affect teams, but what you find is that the teams that are on a good run and that are in with a chance of possibly winning it, they'll still turn up for the Beamish Cup. They always turn up for the Beamish Cup. And it really is wide open now. I mean, Tor, the defending cup holders, are probably, along with Dunmanway, the big favourites. But the likes of Spartak, the likes of Mizzen, the likes of Solan that I mentioned there, and possibly even as well as Durrus, any of those teams, if they have their full-strength squad available to them, are capable of going deep in the competition.
Like you mentioned Dunmanway Town there, Joe, like, kind of, they're obviously playing catch-up in the Premier Division. I think they've only 5 games played, but they did a big week just gone. They won in the Cup and they won in the league as well. They could be a team to kind of maybe kind of, I suppose, going to make hay in the second half of the season. Like, they have a lot of games to play, but maybe that might catch up with them in the end. But they're definitely a team. Like, they've cup pedigree. Like, they're obviously reigning division, Premier Division champions. So they're another one to kind of watch out for.
Yes, and they're top heavy with very, very good strikers. They've got Mark Buckley, who a lot of people would know from his time with Cork and also was over with Celtic for a short time. And they've also got the likes of Cahill Daly. But the signing of Johnny Kelly, who people in West Cork circles would know very well from his time with Tor Celtic. He won the Beamish Cup last year with Tor Celtic, was one of their best players on their run all the way through that. He opened his account against Tor with a hat-trick. He didn't score last weekend, though, but if you can call upon that many attacking players and you've got the solidity at the back and the experience of winning a league title, I think that's the big thing for Dunmanway. They won on penalties last year against Ballydehob in dramatic circumstances, but they're defending champions and they've got a lot of games to make up in the league, as you correctly pointed out. But that's because they've been playing in the Munster Cup, they've been playing in the Champions League Munster Cup on behalf of the West Cork League. And momentum is the key thing for Dunmanway. If they're playing week in, week out and they're winning games, then definitely I think they are a team capable of winning the Beamish Cup this year. I know they'd love to win it. Again, the question is, what's the priority? They've got to close the gap on Drina as quickly as they possibly can. So that probably is priority number one, to defend the league title. But should they come through at the weekend against Kilbritton, and I would expect them to, but not as easily as some people might anticipate, because Kilbritton are a very, very tough team to break down on their home pitch. Again, you get into the next round, into the last 16 or into the quarterfinals, they're a team you're looking to avoid rather than face.
Great stuff, Ger. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to all things sport in West Cork. Don't forget to pick up this Thursday's Southern Star newspaper, including our award-winning sports section with everything a West Cork sports fan could want. In shops across West Cork and online from anywhere in the world via www.southernstar.ie/epaper. The Southern Star and the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And before we wrap up today's show, as always, we're going to take a quick look at what's to come in this week's Southern Star Sports section, which will be available in shops on Thursday morning, as it is every Thursday morning, and available online at www.southernstar.ie/epaper. And be sure to check out the new website, actually, because the sports coverage is looking spectacular, I would say, up there. So you have southernstar.ie for all the sports news you can take. But anyway, Kieran,
and the beauty of this new website too, Jack, worth pointing out, it's so mobile friendly.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, kind of, whether you're at a desktop at work or you're on your mobile, I know a lot of people kind of search the web on their phone now. It's just so mobile friendly, mobile responsive. So definitely check out the new and beautiful Southern Star website.
And that has all the match reports, all the columns from Kieran, Dennis Hurley, Tom Lyons, you name it, Dermot Carty.
Everything's there.
And yeah, it's worth checking out. And if you want to give us any feedback, please do. Just email digital@southernstar.ie. Let us know what you think of the new website. We're pretty pleased with it, so let us know what you think. Anyway, Kieran, enough shilling. What's coming up in this week's paper?
The dirty petrol is now out of the system. Christmas is behind us, so it's a new year. We're back, I suppose. It's a new sporting year, so another action-packed Southern Star sports section on the way this Thursday. We have an interview with Inya Breen, the Irish rugby player from Skibbereen, who was a recent recipient of a West Cork Sports Star monthly award for November. So have a chat with Inya about the year ahead, another big year for Inya Breen. An interview too with Castlehaven footballer Michael Hurley, who hit a hat-trick for Cork in the McGrath Cup win against Tipperary in Mallow last week. He just talks about the competition for places in the Cork attack this year, so a good read there. We have an interview too with Keane Hurley. He's a Clonakilty rugby player who captained a Munster development team against the Ireland under-20s recently. Also, at this time of year, there's a lot of kind of victory dinner dances and so on going on, so Kilbree, Kilmeen had theirs last weekend. We have a picture special from that. St. James is looking back on their great year. We've all the news from their victory dinner dance last weekend. A lot going on for this time of the year. Report of the Skibbereen Drina Rangers Beamish Cup game last weekend, and a lot more in between. So check out this week's Southern Star for all the local sports news that you need. Again, we never said it at the start, but Happy New Year to all our listeners. It's great to have you on board for the Southern Star Sportcast this year. This is year two of the Sportcast. We're nearly celebrating our 1 year birthday in a couple of weeks' time. So
this is episode 46.
Yeah, so we're 6 weeks off. We're 6 weeks off.
Just four off the big 50. And just a shout out to all the listeners and viewers we have had over the last year, because we've had over 26,000 people have tuned in either via an audio stream or on YouTube. So hopefully we can continue to grow that number and you'll all stick with us throughout 2020. And as Kieran often says, if there's anything you'd like us to do differently, if there's anything you think we should be covering more, we do have plans to cover a wider range of sport in the coming months. So
get in touch and let us know
what you want to see or what you want us to talk about.
So again, thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. So if you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to the show.